Good morning, Crestview family.
Good morning.
Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for coming to worship with us today. I am so glad to see you, and I am glad to be back this week. Now, don't get me wrong. We had a fun time last week at camp, but I didn't have to walk near as far to get to service this morning. So I am happy to be here. If you are a guest or a visitor with us, we are especially glad to have you. And there are some cards in the pews that you can fill out just so we can get to know a little bit more about you. We'd just like to know more about you if you're interested in somebody contacting you and talking to you about our church. So if you'd fill those out and drop it in the offering plate, that would be awesome. All right, speaking of awesome, there are a few things going on. I'm going to start with my announcements because I'm going to finish with an announcement for the deacons. So my announcements, actually for the whole church, the 27th, we are having a community block party out here out front. Whitey has secured us two giant water slides, and we are going to have some face painting, and we are going to have ribbon fries, and we are going to have hot dogs. And we are going to have some kind of music, either playing over a speaker, or I have talked to several people and it's fell through. Maybe somebody playing the guitar and singing some music. We don't know yet. But there will be some sort of music. So come out to that, invite your neighbors to that. And if you're willing to help out with that in any way, come see me, Sandra, Whitey, Larry, somebody, because there's going to be a lot of need. We're hoping to reach out in our community and reach some people who may not have church homes, and it gives us a great opportunity to witness to them. So if you want to come out to that and you just want to come and mingle and talk to new people and new faces, that would be awesome too. And that community block party is our kickoff to our VBS, which is the 28th through the 31st. And my wife has been working hard on figuring out how to turn this into an Olympic stadium for our Run the Race VBS that we're having this year. And we have piles and piles of decorations out the building, and those are going to be going up, and you're going to feel like you're in Rome on the first Olympics, I hope, when we're done here. Greece, Athens, yes. It's not all the same place, right?
No.
Oh, anyway, I don't know geometry. Oh, I'm just kidding. All right, that was funny. That was my joke for the day. I got everybody to giggle a little bit. So, with VBS, I would like to announce the picnic was on the screen, but the picnic is the same night as the opening of VBS. So we will not be having a picnic on the 28th. So what we'd invite you to do is come out and hang out, meet new people, hang out with us at VBS. If you come out and you're an adult, I'll either sit down and talk to you for an hour, or I'll find you somewhere to work, one or the other. So we will work on that. And the last announcement for me is next Sunday, Dr. Barry will not be here. We're going to be doing a couple things. One thing we're going to be doing is I've got the three young ladies that went to camp, and they are going to be sharing their experiences from camp this year. And along with Laura and myself, we're going to be talking a little bit about camp and what we learned about and what we got out of it. I do have some exciting news. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to put that out there for next week. I did have some exciting news from one of our youth that went, but I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to let her be the one to share it next week because she's at the beach this week. Also, we did not have any graduates when graduation happened. But since graduation has happened, we have had one graduate. And she is a young lady that went to camp with us last week. She graduated early. She was working at home, and she graduated at 16 years old and is going to be starting at Cleveland Community College. So next week, we're going to be honoring her, too, as part of that service. So just keep that in mind, and I just invite you to come out, and you just have to come see what the big news is. That's all I can tell you. Work day this coming Thursday, I talked to three different people. Usually two out of three is the rule. All right, but it was one out of three that's got me the roll this time. Two people said, no, I don't think we're working. And then I talked to the boss man, and he said we're working Thursday. So we are working, and prayer time at 5:30, I'm assuming just like we've been doing. All right, prayer time at 5:30, and we're working after that. So come out to that. Bring plenty of water. And don't forget about our Wednesday night services, youth and children down in the building, adults up here. And for our final announcement, the deacons are getting ready to hand you, or the ushers are getting ready to hand you deacon nomination ballots. And those are going to be going out to you. And what I want you to do with them is I want you to pray over them. And I want you to think about two men or women in the church who you would like to nominate for deacons. We're going to have one coming on because of, as we discussed before, about our number of deacons. We're going to have one new deacon coming on. So we're going to be nominating two, and then we're going to be voting. We're going to narrow it down, and we'll be voting later on. So you'll hear more about that. So next week, bring those deacon nominations back. We will have a place for you to put them when you get here. I'm assuming we got that brown box still. What we'll do is we'll have the brown box that we use put out here, and you'll be able to drop your deacon nominations in that brown box. If you're not going to be here next week, call me, call somebody. I'll meet you up here to get it. I'll come to your house to pick it up. I'll make sure somebody can come to your house and pick it up. I don't mind. So just take those deacon nominations, and I just ask that you pray over them and see what the Lord would have you do. And as they're finishing that, I don't think we have any more announcements. Ms. Sandy, do you have anything? All right. And I am going to turn it over, as soon as they finish, to Dr. Barry, as we open us up in prayer. And I just invite you to come, put the worries of the world behind us for just a little while, and worship with us this morning here at Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you.
Good morning. We've had a little bit of sunshine this week. I don't know about you, but my yard crunches in places. Would you join me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you and praise you for us to have the freedom to be able to join together in this place to openly sing praises to you, to give thanks for all the things that you've done, to seek out your favor for those that we are concerned about, and invite you to come and speak to our hearts so that we may grow ever closer to you and be of greater service to you. For all this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the famous lines that I have to my students over the years, when I ask a question and they give an answer, a lot of times, let's just say if it's a yes or no, they'll say, yes, and I'll come back with, are you asking me or are you telling me yes? So when we sing, Jesus is all the world to me, let's sing it like we are telling the world Jesus is all the world to me, and not like we're asking, is Jesus the world to me? So let us stand as we sing. 184, Jesus is all the world to me, first and last.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day, without him I would fall.
continue worshiping now as we give our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Thank you for the honor and the privilege to worship you today. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given us, and we ask now that you take our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and that you bless this and use this for your kingdom. May our small part play a big role in others hearing the wonderful news about you, our Savior. For it is your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing our hymn of praise? 337. I know whom I have believed. 337.
Any kids come forward this morning? Good morning, guys. How's it going? All right, I got a task for you. I went to open a jar this morning. I needed it for something, and I couldn't get it open. So I'm going to see if you guys can help me. Okay, come over here, Jackson. Come over here. I want to see if you guys can help me open this jar this morning. Here, you can see if you can open that jar for me. If you can't, oh, she couldn't open it. Oh, Isabel can't open it. Let's just say Sadie's got it. Real quick, and then we're going to let Jackson give it a try. All right, let Jackson give it a try. Can't get it. All right, let me see it, Jackson. Let me see if I can get it. Hang on 1 second. Let's try it. I can't get it. Let me try something real quick. Hang on. I brought something with me. I brought an exercise tool with me. Hang on. I'll see if we can get it out of here. Whoa. Okay. All right. Let's see if I can get it now. Oh, look at there. Just because. Look at there. That's pretty good, right? So opening a bottle is not that big of a deal. But it doesn't take very much strength to open it. But sometimes they can be really hard to open, right? Well, so today I'm going to talk about something that doesn't take a whole lot. And you can do really, really big things with it. We're going to be talking about faith. You guys know what faith is? We're going to be learning today. So faith is trusting in God and depending on Him no matter what. And faith is like a muscle. Did you know that? If you exercise your faith every day, it becomes stronger and stronger. We're always quick to say we have faith in God and that we believe He can do anything that we want Him to do. But when we get in a pinch, we're quick to say, why is this not working out? Why is this not working out? Well, one day Jesus was talking to His disciples, and He was talking about the importance of forgiving others. He told them that even if someone sins against you 7 times a day, you've got to forgive them every time. And then Jesus taught that it would be very hard to do these things. So Jesus said, so they said to Jesus, show us how to increase our faith. They were wondering how to forgive people and it took a lot of faith. And so they wanted to know how to increase their faith. And Jesus said, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, then you could say to this mulberry tree. So I want you to think about a seed. How big is a seed, right? Fits in the palm of your hand. Now, mustard seed's a little tiny. I should have brought some. They're one of the tiniest seeds. They're not the tiniest, but they're one of the tiniest seeds. And it said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, who's seen a big old tree before? What's the biggest tree you've ever seen? An apple tree might be the biggest. Some big old oak trees. But here he's talking about a mulberry tree. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell a mulberry tree to be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So faith is that amazing. Do you know why it's possible? Do you know why faith is possible? It's because God's power, it's impossible for us to have just a little bit of strength, a little bit of faith, and it be that strong, because God's power doesn't depend on our strength. It all depends on Him. There's a song that we sing. It says, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there is nothing my God cannot do. All we need is just a little faith. And what our scripture we're going to be reading here in a little bit. So listen to this scripture. This is, it says, the apostles said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And the Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Luke 17:51. So think about that, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute, but we're going to pray, and you guys are going to stay right here, and we'll go out to children's church as we continue to talk about it. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each one of these guys and girls that are here. Lord, we thank you and we love you for what you do for us. And Lord, we pray that as we go through this week, that we can exercise our faith so our faith in you can grow daily, because we know anything is possible with just a little faith in you. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, guys, come sit right here.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of man?
If you would like to turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'll begin reading at verse 8 and read through verse 17. This is the first of a series of 5 sermons on experiencing the mind of Christ. We are told in the New Testament that we should take on the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to talk about 5 aspects of what I think it means to have the mind of Christ. And the first of those is living by faith. Now, faith is an interesting thing because we look at faith and think, all right, I have faith in a lot of people. How many people would you let drive your motorcycle or your car? How many people would you let watch your dog all week while you're at the beach? Or watch one of your kids overnight or grandkids overnight? All of a sudden, faith takes on a little bit more oomph. And this is the kind of faith we're talking about. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in the preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness to how you constantly I remember you. In my prayers at all times, I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for you to come, for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have among the other Gentiles. I'm obligated both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as is written, the righteous will live by faith. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray you open our hearts and open our eyes and open our ears to experience your word and allow your word to speak to our hearts, whatever message we need to hear. We pray that we would be willing not only to hear it, but willing to respond to it, so that we may indeed be doing your will. For all this we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A lawyer, a medical supply salesman, and a high school science teacher. Now, I just say those words and you're expecting, all right, what's the joke that's coming? But there's no joke here. Each of them had a decent living. Each of them had a home. Each of them had children at home. They had respective careers. But they also felt something was not quite right in their lives. Each one of these persons came to the recognition that God was calling them to Christian ministry. Each one of them came to that recognition. They wrestled with it for years. And finally, there came a single point in their life that they said, I can't fight this anymore. I'm going to do something about it. And they stepped out on faith. They had a secure living, they had a comfortable home, and yet each one in their own time accepted that call. Each one of these chose to live by faith. They all then attended a certain divinity school just down the road here at Gardner Webb University. I had all 3 of these people in class. From the time that they graduated, each went to do different things. The one who was a science teacher decided he would become a military chaplain. He's now a major in the Army, and he's located in some place called the Pentagon. Another of these, who was the salesman for medical supply, now pastors a small church. And the science teacher still does practice law part-time, but also does interim pastorates and supply preaching. Sometimes God just asks us to step out on faith. Now, most things don't require a lot of faith. You wake up in the morning, I probably ought to get out of bed. That's a pretty easy decision to make if we're capable of getting out of bed. Well, I'm probably going to go fix me a cup of coffee. That's probably, again, something that's a no-brainer. But sometimes in our lives, we find that there's situations where God is asking us to do something that's out of the ordinary. That God asks us to do something that may be out of our comfort zone. That God is calling us to trust Him to do something. Maybe, just maybe, we never even thought about doing that in our lives. What does it mean for an individual to live by faith? Or even for a church to live by faith? The book of Hebrews defines faith as this: the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Meaning we trust God that if God is calling us to something, something good is going to happen, even though we have not yet seen it. And so we are called upon by God to move somewhere or do something that we don't know how it's going to turn out, other than trusting God. If God's behind it, it'll turn out well. In short, trusting in the promises of God and knowing God is a way for God to complete God's work in each and every one of us. And as that popular Christian song, God has never stopped working. God is always working in our lives. Living by faith means to follow Jesus. But not just to follow Jesus, but to follow Jesus as our life's ambition. It is our primary goal. Philippians says that God will create or continue and complete a great work in us. To have faith is, simply put, to have a greater faith in God than we have in our own selves. That is not an easy thing to grasp, because most of the times I do things without thinking them. I just automatically get in the car. I know how to start the car. I know how to drive to work. I know what to do when I'm at work. Everything seems to be so simple. But then there are those times that I'm fraught with a situation and I really don't know what to do. And our tendency is to say, I'll wait for those circumstances and then I'll ask God for some guidance. But that's not what living by faith does. Living by faith is always being open to what God has us to do and what God has us to be. We are challenged to each and every day seeking out God and seeking out God's wisdom for our life. God may lead us to choose the one that does not pay. For example, you have a chance to take a job. I remember years ago, I was unemployed, and I had a chance either pastor a church or teach at a school. I didn't know which one did you want me to take. So I prayed about it, and finally something happened that I knew which one I was supposed to take. I went on a church visit, preached the trial sermon for the committee. Then they brought us over to meet with the community in the church. And the search committee got back with me and said, we had a majority of vote to invite you to be our pastor. And I said, can you explain majority vote? And ended up saying, well, two people thought your wife wasn't friendly enough. So I took the teaching job. I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. And sometimes we have to make choices, and the choices are, it's not really one's really good or one's really bad, and it's not about the pay for one or the pay for the other. It's where God wants me to be. And sometimes those choices are easy, and sometimes they're not. To live by faith means we genuinely attempt to follow Jesus, just as the disciples were called out to follow Jesus, as we talked about in our Wednesday Bible study. But to follow Jesus is not just about big decisions like what job to take or who to marry or whether to have children. It's also the small decisions that we make each and every day. Because those small decisions can add up to something special if we are in tune with God. To live by faith means to trust in God's provision. We must trust in God's provision that we are faithful, and we truly believe in our heart of hearts that God also is faithful. And our faithfulness to God is expressed through several things. How we use our time. How we use our talents. Financial resources. Living by faith gives us an opportunity to say, God, I know you want what's best for me, and I want to be able to make myself available to be used by you however you choose to use me. And all of this is not so that we get recognized and patted on the back by the church members, but rather that we glorify God. That's the sole purpose in following Jesus, is to glorify God. God, provide us with enough time that we can do the things that you've called us to do. A steward is someone who handles the resources of their master and does so faithfully. We know the parable of the coins, in which two went out and used the coins and brought back more and one who buried it. Jesus seems to imply he wants us to use that which he gives us, because we can have an impact far greater than we ever imagined. We are entrusted to handle the time and the talents and the money provided by us because Jesus is our master. Living by faith means to use that which God has provided us all for his glory and for his honor. Finally, to live by faith means to walk by faith. Walking implies going somewhere. Not sitting and waiting for God to come to us and say, oh, I finally have a job for you. Walking means you're walking with God, and that God is taking you from an active position to a different acting position. The image given by Paul in Corinthians encouraged them to walk by faith. Didn't say stand by faith, but walk by faith. John's gospel tells us that God sent his son into the world. In other words, God walked into humanity. He came into humanity. God didn't wait for us to appeal to him. He came first. And if we believe that somehow we are saved by an evangelist or a pastor or someone else, the reality is there's only one who can save, and that person is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ comes to us. He doesn't wait for us to come to him. John also tells us Jesus was sent by God into the world. And Jesus himself, just as I am sent, so send I you. We're not sent to grow in our faith, or we are sent to grow in our faith in God through Jesus Christ. We're sent into the world to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, and we're sent to serve Jesus Christ with our lives using whatever gifts and talents we have. Simply put, living by faith is to walk with Jesus as we walk with Jesus, reaching out to others, touching other people's lives, and living the kind of life that we see in the life of Jesus, including spending significant time in prayer. So living by faith is more than just trusting in ourselves. It is fully trusting in God. We have to believe that the promises that are given in Scripture are indeed true, and that God will maintain those promises. That the love of God and provision of God means so much to us that we want to live by faith. Dwight Moody once said, "A little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul." But walking by faith is not easy. Now, sometimes my wife is spontaneous, and I tell her, I'm not against spontaneity, as long as I know about it ahead of time. I like things. I don't like surprises. I don't like to have to wait for things. I like to order and structure and all that, and so there's no surprises, or if there's surprises, they're very small surprises. But that's not what living by faith means. You have to trust in that which you cannot see, and more importantly, cannot control. A famous saying from Benjamin Franklin states, "A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush." Well, there's a lot of wisdom to that, and in general, I think there's some worthwhile wisdom that comes with that. But living by faith sometimes says, what's in the bush is a lot more of value than the two birds you see. Because that's what happened to Moses. Moses could have been distracted by the birds. No. God was speaking him through the bush. And sometimes that bush calls us to do that which is not the expected thing, but that's exactly what God wants us to do. A bird in the hand cannot compare with God wants to reveal to us through a bush. Now, you talk about living by faith. Clearly, Abraham is the picture of faith, at least according to the book of Hebrews. Imagine being in your situation, you're 75 years old, and God comes to you, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. God, do you have cataracts? I'm 75. I live in a place called Ur, which is in southern Iraq in today's world. And it's not found in the scripture, but according to a Jewish source, the first thing God asked him to do is, see all those poles and statues that your daddy has around there? When he goes off tomorrow, I want you to break them all to pieces. And Abraham does exactly as God tells him to do, and he breaks all these statues to pieces except one, the biggest one. And he puts the hammer that he used to destroy the other statues in the hand of the big statue. When his dad returns and says, what happened? Well, we offered food to the statues, and they were fighting about who would get to eat it first, and the big one just beat up all the rest of them so he could have it all for himself. But then God asked him to pick up and move. Now again, you're in southern Iraq, and you're told you have a place in what is today Israel that's going to be given for you. So he goes all the way up to southern Turkey and northern Syria, settles there for a while, then comes back, gets to see a little bit of this land of promise. But then there's a famine, so he has to go to Egypt. Pharaoh almost just takes his wife away from him. He says, oh, by the way, for 400 years, your descendants will be enslaved in Egypt. Then they get Israel. Abraham could have looked at God and said, what kind of swamp land are you trying to tell me and sell me here? But he followed him. In many ways, this is how Paul feels as he writes this text today. He has tried for years to go to Rome, and whatever he has tried, it's always been thwarted. But the one thing that has not been thwarted is the fact he firmly believes that God is going to bring him to be with those Roman Christians, to pray with them, to worship with them, to share with them. Nothing is going to stop that. Living by faith means to recognize that our time and talents and finances really aren't ours to own. We are simply renting them. By the grace of God, the things in life that we need are provided for us, and by doing so, we can be able to live relatively comfortably, at least by the world's standards. Sometimes we think we may have enough, whether that's physical resources or spiritual resources. But by the grace of God, the things in life are provided to us because God has chosen to provide them. This Lord's table that we observed communion when we had homecoming reminds us of Jesus' faith and faithfulness. And he challenges to live as individuals and live by a church, by faith, faith in God through Jesus Christ. The 5,000 were hungry and they had nothing to eat. And yet Jesus not only provides for them, he gives them an abundance left over for those who were late to the table. So the challenge is for us to live by faith in the God who created us, the God who sustains us, the God who watches over us. And may we look to see at the abundance that comes when God does act. But you know, faith in God is partly just simply trusting God. But there's another factor that comes into placing your faith in God. We need other people. Paul said, I came not that I can encourage you by faith, but I would be encouraged by you by faith. We need a place where we gather together, where we learn to trust one another, where we place our faith in each other. Because at some point in time, I'm going to be weak and I need somebody else to give me strength that I don't have. This is what the church is designed to be. It's a place where we come together as imperfect people, and somehow by our faith in God and our willingness to walk by God, we strengthen each other. And that God uses us in that way. Maybe you are struggling with some things right now. Maybe you have decisions you have to make. Maybe you're in situations that are difficult. One, I pray that God would help give you wisdom to act in whatever way God has you to act, to accept whatever challenge God has put before you. But I also ask that you make sure that you have a church home that has a way to be able to strengthen one another. And so that I can be encouraged by someone else's faith, and maybe somebody else be encouraged by my faith. And the ultimate goal is not to have a strong church, but to glorify God. The church will take care of itself if we're doing our business of glorifying God in all that we do. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, as we come to you this day, we pray that you open our eyes and hearts what it means to walk by faith. Give us faith enough, even as that of a mustard seed, so that we can trust you in little decisions in our life and big decisions of our life. We pray that you allow us to be able to have the courage to follow you when you lead us to do something new or to serve you in a way we've never served before. Lord, it is a challenge. But it is a challenge that not only can you get us through it, you can help us excel in it. Because just like at the feeding of the 5,000, it wasn't just enough to meet the need. There was an abundance there. God, you can use us as individuals. You can use us as a church to be a blessing to this community. And we pray that we have the courage and the willingness to live by faith for your glory, for your honor, and in gratitude for your sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we do pray. Amen.
At this time, our altar is open for prayer, and Don Berry will be up here if you'd like to talk with him as we sing our hymn of invitation, page 411, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Would you stand?
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge me, need the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
Some of those were in the 40s. Yes, they had faith in God and answered that by the call. But maybe even a more important lesson, God never lost faith in them. That God continued to call out to them, to care for them, to nurture them, and to prepare them for that day when they finally would accept the call that God had given them. God has not lost patience with any of us. So many of us would lose patience if nothing happened after a year or two. But God has more patience than our imaginations can have. And the reason God has patience is because he loves you with all his heart. And may you go with the peace of mind knowing that God loves you beyond your comprehension to understand that love. Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for each and every person here. I pray your blessings upon each one. I pray as they go forth from this place that they're able to choose to continue to place their faith in you, to guide them, prepare them, and to use them as they are willing to be your servant and your voice in this world. For all this we do pray in Jesus' name.